Paul, are you coming into the office at all, or have you just been letting Light Show pretend to be there for you?
No, once I've got nothing to do but wait, I'll go back to the office.
Okay, then in that case, you'll probably be in at some point after Cog has been handed over. You spend most of your day doing field work, but when you come back in, Lowry could introduce you if he wants to.
Sure, I'd like to do that. They'll be working together, after all. Paul, I'm glad I caught you.
Are you?
Yes, because I need to introduce you to a new member of the team, and I know how much you hate drawn-out meetings, so we can get this out of the way for you pretty fast.
I don't hate drawn-out meetings, I hate pointless meetings.
All right, well, this is Cog. He's a bit taciturn, so he's not going to be involved in the PR side of things, and nor will he go out on routine calls, but we intend to deploy him for major events, like that raid that we did on Mercury's compound.
He's got body armor and a gun. Looks like a wannabe military. You want to be military, Cog?
He's going to assist with more militaristic aspects of the work, so that checks out.
Rudy always hated heroes who tried to dress like military. You know what they do with super people in the military? Dress them like everyone else and make them go through boot camp like everyone else. They get ridden harder because they can take it, get saddled with more work because they can manage it, and get blamed more often because they could do more. If they want to get promoted to an elite unit, they go through all the tests like all their peers, and then when they retire, that's good discipline. But you know what they don't do? They don't wear the uniform. They don't try to look military because dressing like military is something you don't do as a civilian, except for special occasions.
Well, as you can see, the bright colors somewhat defeat any exact comparison to the military.
He looks like a stormtrooper. So it's paramilitary. That doesn't make it fine. Military is separate. Superheroes are civilians, and we dress like superheroes. Even Flux had the sense to make his face visible through the visor and added a bunch of personal flourish to his armor. This Cog guy looks ready to be a toy soldier. That's why you hired him, isn't it? He looks like a good toy.
I thought you'd appreciate someone a little more militaristic and effective.
Well, he's certainly quiet. What's the matter, Cog? You can't speak for yourself?
If a dog runs up to a fence and barks at you, do you bark back?
I do. What kind of name is Cog anyway?
A Cog has teeth. Anyway, I just thought you should be acquainted. I don't expect you'll become friends or come to respect each other.
What are his powers? He shoots at people? It's not a power.
That's just about it.
We used to get dozens of applications like this, and Rudy always turned them down.
Well, before, we had Rudy, and we didn't need more firepower. Now we're getting literally killed out there, and we're hiring more firepower. Anyway, that's enough. Cog, you can come with me. Kimon, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, great. Okay, before I go home, I'm gonna stop off and meet with Nicholas.
He's pretty much just employed by you now, so outside of his own personal work he does on the side, he's free.
So, Nicholas, I have a big technical job I need done. There's a guy on the side I might be able to offload some work onto, so you don't need to do it all yourself, but long story short is, I want to hit Unstoppable HQ, but I don't want casualties. And I want a way out.
Well, of course you want a way out. What do you mean hit, though? What do you mean to do?
So I've been thinking. The big problem today is everyone has a cell phone, and as soon as you launch an evil scheme, everyone gets their phones out and they start streaming it to social media. Eventually someone in the local police will see it, no matter what you do, and then they show up to stop you.
Yeah, alright, so people use their cell phones, they get the police. I see your point.
Steer me in a better direction if there is one, but could we set up, like, a EMP weapon or something that'd take out all the cell phones in a concentrated area?
An EMP is kind of a tactical weapon. Nuclear radiation was what first made people realize it was possible, but there are non-nuclear EMPs. There's two problems. The first is that building an EMP isn't exactly something we do on the cheap, or even necessarily on the down low.
Well, we do have some money. We only need to do this once.
The second problem is that it's a type of bomb. You know, you can't really control very well who or what gets affected. So if the bomb is large enough to take out an entire tower, then that would affect everything in that radius. That includes vehicles you might have hoped to escape on.
Well, you could maybe harden an escape vehicle against the EMP?
I guess if cost is no issue, then sure. But if the point is to avoid alarm, I think an EMP bomb would alert everyone of foul play by default, just because of the general destruction it will cause, and how wide an area it would do that in.
All right. All I really want to do is get people out of the building, and then blow it up without getting, you know, the police.
Well, if I had my way, I could learn to become a singer by wishing on a star. But setting off a bomb is not a good way to avoid police attention. That's the bottom line.
What if we just pull a fire alarm? I mean, normally that calls the fire department, but suppose we cut the line so they don't show up, and the building evacuates. And how about we do, like, a small explosion to frighten everybody, make sure they get far away. Couple of minutes later, before anyone shows up, boom, the big one goes off, the whole tower comes down.
Demolition isn't necessarily my personal strong suit. I'm more involved in security systems and programs, but that does seem more plausible. Cutting the wire to the fire department is doable. Typically, a fire alarm is being monitored from somewhere. New Jersey-Delphia has a code requiring major commercial buildings to be hooked up somehow, and you'll need to look into Unstoppable Industries' own systems to find out how. We might be able to trick the system into sending false reports of no concern.
You know what, how about if I just get you a full report of the building security specs?
You don't think that'll raise suspicion?
No, I mean, the security is something to be very suspicious about. And that's why they're going to give me the information.
Well, then just like McDonald, if I can see the enemy's defenses, and we know our own capabilities, we can make an effective plan.
I'll get something on your desk soon. All right, so the next day at work, I go to talk to Lowry.
Sure, Lowry. You have anything you want to do?
What do you need, Kimon?
I've been a little on edge lately.
You've been on edge for your entire life. You're the definition of an edgy person.
I mean about Mercury. I've been trying to track down leads and figure out his next move, but what has me worried is that if he were me, I'd be planning an attack.
On what?
Well, we made a fool of him, and he's working with other villains. Villains have big personalities, they all think they can rule the world, and as soon as the chips seem down, they start fighting internally. That's why you don't see a lot of team-ups. I think I talked to you about this, or I've just been thinking about it a lot. Anyway, Mercury has to make it seem like things are still going good, or his whole operation is going to implode. If he hits us, attacks the tower, for example, that'd send a message that he's still in control.
Are you seeing anything that makes you think he'd do that?
Problem is, I'm concerned there's no reason he wouldn't. Do you think I could get a printout of the tower security systems and the safety mechanisms?
Well, that depends. Are you going to start unilaterally ordering staff changes?
Maybe. I could. If you're concerned about the state of the company now, imagine how crippling it'd be if they went after us and we weren't ready. We're vulnerable right now. I realize that. Maybe Mercury doesn't, but I'd like to try to make us not vulnerable.
All right, fine. That's a good point. I'll have someone send you a printout of the stuff that you want, but don't start making changes unless you've cleared it with me first.
You really want to put red tape on this?
Yes, because if we're going to beef up security, we need to do it in a way that inspires confidence instead of making us look frightened or nervous. Appearance is everything.
All right, whatever. I'll punch up a formal review.
Thank you. Then in that case, I'll get a report to you today.
So there you are, Paul. You've got a list of security features and all the technical specs you want before you go home from work that day. When you get it to Nicholas, he says, okay, looks like we can cut off the connection to the fire department. So you pull a fire alarm, the building evacuates, a small bomb goes off, and hopefully everyone gets the message. Of course, then you'll need a demo guy for that.
No worries, I got one.
Well, then the only thing I'd worry about is what if Lowry and Elvis decide to be the hero and go in the building before the second bomb goes off?
I wouldn't count on them to be heroes on the average day. But don't worry, we'll all be preoccupied. Speaking of, weird question. Could I ask you to go around the city and order as many jumbo bags of Big Big Donuts coffee as you can without making it weird?
I'm not doing anything. I mean, how much coffee do you need?
How much coffee do you think it would take to drown a full-sized person?
Oh, are we doing classic villain stuff?
You better believe it.
Okay, in that case, at least a bathtub of coffee, right? Better double it even.
Yeah, draw me some blueprints real quick. Get me some dimensions. I know a guy who can make a giant tin mug with just his bare hands, so we can buy a bunch of tin wash basins and maybe paint the outside glossy white with the Big Big Donuts coffee logo on it.
Nicholas sits down and starts excitedly sketching up a giant novelty coffee mug. Eventually, he's got some neat figures to look at, and he goes, okay, that should drown a whole person. But if it's hot, they'll burn before they drown.
Well, I don't actually want to kill him. It's just a distraction. What I want to do is keep the coffee hot, but dangle the person over the mug like they're gonna be lowered into it.
Okay, that complicates things. The steam from the hot coffee could cause burns and respiratory distress.
Let's get some heating coils under the fake mug, but put a knob on it. For the ransom video, we'll turn it up, make it feel scary, but before we flee the scene, we'll turn it back down and just let the coffee be... I don't know, I guess there's no reason to leave it hot. Maybe an on-off switch would be fine.
Are you going to leave the victim suspended over the coffee the whole time?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know where else I want to put him. I mean, like... Let's set the heating coils so they can keep the coffee warm, and the victim still feels the heat and worries they'll burn if they fall. That'll discourage them from struggling too much. But if something goes wrong and they do fall, they won't die.
Okay, so we're going to have pulleys, suspension system. We'll need a comfortable harness because they're going to be up there for who knows how long. We can do a knot that'll hold as long as they're suspended, but we'll loosen if they fall so there's less of a drowning risk. But I mean, they could hit their head on the rim of the fake mug on the way down.
How about we pack some foam around it, make it look like a styrofoam cup?
And maybe soft foam on the rims, like with pool noodles. And we can coat the outside in spray foam insulation, like for buildings. Then we paint over it for a more uniform look.
All right, yeah, that's good. A styrofoam cup, then.
Where do you want to do this? I have a liquid volume, but if we're going to suspend someone over it, we have to worry about ceiling clearance.
I was thinking, there's this abandoned gas station I've been going by every now and then. We might use the interior.
Nicholas says, okay, let's check it out. Get some measurements. So you guys drive down to the abandoned gas station, you let yourself inside with some measuring tape, and Nicholas has his blueprints and stuff. He measures up to the ceiling, then sits down and says, "Okay, so the problem is, if we go for a tall cup like the one they sell at Big Big Donuts, it's gonna have enough fluid to drown someone, but we won't really have the ceiling clearance to dangle anyone over it, let alone safely."
"What if we cut down the height of the cup and widen it out?"
"Well, at that point, it doesn't really read as a foam cup from Big Big Donuts, see? And he draws you a picture of what your idea would really look like. He's right, you can tell it's wrong."
"All right, well, we're not really gonna drown them in it. What if we make the cup smaller?"
"Okay, here's your person," and Nicholas draws a person on his sheet. "And then here's your clearance. So if we make it smaller, but the scale, it doesn't really look like a person would fit inside that well. It just looks funny. The location's just no good for this idea."
"It's a convenient location, though. I mean, it's a ways from the office, but close enough that they'd still respond to it."
"Anything with only a single story might be too shallow for this. The classic warehouse has got to be the better fit."
"But I like this, because there's nothing connecting us to it. I don't want to rent or buy a warehouse, and it'll be a pain to try to scout around for something not already in use."
"I guess that's the advantage of running a whole criminal organization, right? You've always got warehouses."
"Okay, foam coffee cup may not work. Let's go back to the ceramic mug idea."
"Yeah, like a shallow coffee mug could fit. It might not look authentic ceramic if you leave it as tin or cover it in foam."
"Maybe we can sand the foam down with an electric sander and then give it some kind of acrylic coating?"
"I guess there's some safety benefits to a shallow cup. They'd drown if lying down, but once freed from the rope, they could just stand and be mostly fine sitting up."
"The main thing is, I want the Big Big Donuts logo clearly legible on the side of the mug. It's one of Lowry's big brand deals, so I'd like them implicated in the whole thing somehow. Get the public thinking about it when they see the footage and they see Lowry next to the logo."
"Oh, this is going fully public. Okay, in that case, lighting is going to be important, too. Are we going for something scary? Like maybe the lights pointing up, horror lighting?"
No, I want playful. I want the public to feel like I'm not a threat to them or the city. Not like, "Oh God, he'll melt the flesh off our bones with coffee," but more like, "Wow, that's a big cup of coffee. That dude is nuts. Why does he hate Lowry and Elvis so much? I also don't like that coffee."
"Okay, so cheerful three-point lighting. We'll need to clean this place up a little. It looks pretty ghastly as it is. You know what'd be funny? If we got some props to make it look like a Big Big Donut store."
Yeah, all right, I dig that."
"So, stupid question. Should I buy a mix of coffee flavors or just one?"
"Let's be classy about this. Come on, we're real villains, right? Just one flavor."
"Okay, French vanilla is probably good. I find that everywhere."
"Would it be funnier if it was seasonal flavors?"
"No, I don't think so. I mean, the audience won't know."
"Oh, you know what else would be great? If we can get a giant, novelty-sized coffee creamer. And I'll pour it in the mug while I'm making my threats. I will kill you, coffee creamer."
"Can your guy do a giant spoon?"
"Oh my God, a giant spoon. Yes! I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna kill this person after I'm done stirring with my giant spoon."
"Okay, great, good. I've got a list of supplies I think we'll need for now. Main thing, I think, is I'll start with the heating coils, and then I'd like your guy to build the mug on top of the coils. That way we don't have to move it ourselves. It's a lot of tin in a funny shape, and it's gonna be kind of heavy. I don't really want to have to, like, try to get the thing in place myself."
"You know, you finish up the blueprints, go out and get those wash basins. I'll call my guy."
Nicholas finalizes the blueprints. You'll have a rig to lower a grown adult into a cup of coffee, and the coffee can even be heated so it seems genuine. You still need to do some cleaning up and prepare the lighting, get it studio ready, but this is totally doable on a budget.
"Great. I'll call up Smith and Kandok."
"Kandok, your phone rings."
"Hello? Kandok, it's Mr. Green. I have exciting news. How would you like to be a movie star?"
"What are you talking about? I thought we were getting some kind of job lined up."
"Meet me at the following address. It's part of a plan. And bring Smith. We need his abilities." I hang up.
"What now?"
"Mr. Green wants us to meet him at a gas station. He says we're going to be movie stars."
"That doesn't sound like a good way to avoid being arrested."
"Well, he can't mean it literally. We going?"
"Well, now I gotta see what he means. Yeah, let's go."
Okay, the two of you arrive at the abandoned gas station. Inside are a bunch of tin wash basins, some electronics, and Paul, are you dressed in your green suit?
"No, I'll disguise myself to look like the CEO of Big Big Donuts. Most people probably don't know what he looks like, so it'll be good till this goes to television."
"Yo, we're looking for a friend. Are we in the right place?"
"You're among friends. Come, I have something to show you. We're going to make a little distraction, a kidnapping to pull the attention of Unstoppable Industries so you can go in and do the real job. Here, look at these sketches."
"These look professional."
"It's a coffee cup."
"A giant coffee cup."
"And a giant spoon."
"We're going to have a wonderful time.